I'm here now with Alison Bloxham, who's the lead therapist for Transplant Sport and also the World Transplant Games here in Newcastle Gateshead. And the reason I've come to talk to Alison is because she's the person that's really in charge of all the therapists here and kind of has been instrumental in integrating sports therapists into the therapy team for the Games. So Alison, do you want to just give us a bit of a brief overview of, I suppose, your role within the Games and also how sports therapists came to be integrated into the therapy team?
Okay. Well, I've been involved with the Games for 18 years, and primarily my background is physiotherapy, and primarily I recruited physiotherapists to help at the British Games. And over those years, I came into contact with a lady at Coventry University who was a physiotherapist but teaching on the sports therapy course. And when the Games were in the University of Warwick, in 2009, Sheila and I worked together, and Sheila became very interested in could her sports therapists be involved as well. And I'm always happy to recruit anybody who wants to come and help at the Games. So we formed a collaboration, and some of the sports therapists then volunteered for the British Games in subsequent years. And Sheila also then volunteered to support the British team at the World Transplant Games. And over the years, as we worked together, we realised that the common things were far more than the differences between us. Sheila was passionate about the sports therapy course that she was teaching on, and I realised that they had a huge amount to offer. And we really started to work together to bring students from the sports therapy course into the fold of Transplant Sport. So I was already recruiting physios and physio students. We started to recruit Sheila's colleagues, qualified sports therapists, and also students. And in 2015, we decided that we would take students for the first time to the World Transplant Games. And we interviewed sports therapy students at Coventry University for six positions. And we took six students to Argentina with the British team, and they worked amazingly well. The whole thing worked as a package in the sense that we integrated a lot of teaching. They did a lot of the massage work. I discovered that sports therapy students, because of their specialism, have a lot to offer even as students, whereas physio students often go through a lot of their training before they get any kind of sports experience. And so the sports therapy students became an integral part of our recruitment and therapy team.
Excellent. So, I mean, it sounds like they are well embedded within the team at the minute. So how many have you got working at these Games at the minute?
So the British team have their own set of sports therapists. So Coventry have supplied four qualified sports therapists and six students. And so they are completely embedded within the British team. So from the British team point of view, they don't have any physios as such with them. They have sports therapists. On the international team, I've recruited 62 volunteers to join the therapy team here at the Games.
Okay, and in terms of your sort of work when you get the students or the graduates to the Games or in preparation for the Games, what do you do with regards to training and sort of preparing them for that?
Okay, so for these Games we had a mandatory training day which we combined with the International Symposium on Transplantation. So that took place on the Saturday just before the Games started, and part of the volunteer recruitment was this is a mandatory training, and whatever days you might be working you have to come to this training. And during that training we had lectures from very experienced clinicians on critical care, so the transplant journey in the initial stages, so that people became aware of what transplantation really is about. One of the things when you meet the transplant athletes is they really do not look like they've ever been sick. They look amazingly fit and well. So I think it was important to just remind people of the actual process that they've gone through and the journey that they've taken. So we had that as part of the lecture. We also had a lecture that Sheila and I did about how we manage transplant athletes and the differences in treatments, so the considerations you have to make towards transplant athletes. So again, that was to try and give people a feel for, yes, they are high-level sports people, but they have certain unique features that make them vulnerable. And then other parts of the symposium covered things like the psychology in sport, particularly with transplantation, the effect of sport on transplants and the benefits of sport for transplants. So it was an international field of lectures, and we felt that this gave people a really good preparation for dealing with the transplant athletes.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, sort of, as a therapist, what are the challenges of working with this population compared to the general population or people with a very uncomplicated past medical history? Like, what are the differences that you find?
Well, the main differences are the medication effects. So all of the transplant athletes who've had solid organs, so that includes kidney, liver, heart, lungs, pancreas, small bowel, they all are on immunosuppressants. The only exception is the bone marrow transplants, who are featured at the games, but generally they're not on the same drugs that the other solid organ transplantees are. And the effects of the medication can have a dramatic effect on skin quality, circulation, and certainly on bone density. So one of the challenges is making sure that people are very aware of the need not to manipulate. And I realise that from a sports therapy point of view, that's not something that they do anyway, but from the physiotherapy, chiropractic, osteopathic point of view, and we have had those people on our teams, we have to make it very clear that manipulation is inappropriate of grade 5. And also the skin quality means that we have to take care with massage and also with taping. So making the therapists aware of those differences is very important.
And do you find, with regards to because of the bone mineral density problems, do you find you have to give a lot of sort of opinions and guidance on load management as well, or is that generally the coaches that do
that? Generally the coaches that are doing that, but it is something that we have to be aware of, in that if they fall, there is a higher risk that they may have a fracture rather than just you and I getting a soft tissue injury and a bruise. So as an example, we had somebody fall at the volleyball who went to see the physiotherapist with a wrist pain. The physiotherapist said, "I think you have a fracture potentially. You should not play." The person did go and play because she'd come a long way to play, and obviously it got worse, and actually she went to hospital, and then we subsequently found out she had got a fracture. So it's just being aware of that heightened risk and being aware that in your assessment there is a higher risk that may be the case.
So your trauma management skills are probably just slightly...
just heightened a little,
Great stuff. Well, I think that's everything that we'll sort of talk about for now, but obviously I'm going to be here for the day and seeing how the events go, and obviously how the therapist integrated into the team. But thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks again for talking to us today, Emma. If you could just start by telling us how long you've been involved in athletics.
I was about 14, so over 20 years now. And then I had my transplant in 2014 and basically just carried on.
Okay, great. So can you tell us about your transplant?
So I had a liver transplant. I actually had sudden liver failure. I was in Portugal. I was doing work with the Welsh Athletics kind of prep camp for the Glasgow Commonwealth Games. And I was sort of out there pretty last minute doing some massage, and then I just got very, very poorly, and basically my liver had failed, so I needed a new liver, and they found me one in Portugal.
Oh, great news that they were able to find you a transplant. So can you tell us a bit more about the impact your transplant has had?
It's pretty life-changing. So my surgery was quite extensive. Basically, when I was in Portugal, they didn't really know why I'd kind of gone into a coma and collapsed, so they did exploratory surgery where they basically just went straight up my abdomen to have a look what was going on. So they had to then do further surgery the next day or a couple of days later to sort of do the transplant. So it took me probably the best part of a year to sort of fully rehabilitate sort of from the surgery. I was in a coma for about a week. I was in hospital in Portugal for 5 weeks and couldn't walk. I'd lost all my muscle mass, so I had to learn how to walk again. And then I learned how to run again. Basically, it was quite a slow process, but that's what I learned. And then I travel quite a bit for my own leisure time, but also with work. So it's just always a case of I can only go to places really that I know that have got good medical services, that have got good, you know, hospitals, emergency services. And I just have to make sure that I take my medicine with me, which is not too bad for a transplant patient. I only take one tablet a day for my transplant, but I just have to make sure that goes everywhere I go.
Yeah, that's completely understandable. So, just coming back to the medication, do you find that that has an impact on your sporting ability at all?
This is difficult because I think there's just not been enough research done on it, because either you become very poorly and then you go on the organ donor waiting list, so you can't sort of do a sort of pre and post test because you're so poorly anyway, if you've got like a long-term you know, illness and then you get your transplant, or like me, you become ill very suddenly and you hadn't really done the test beforehand. I could have, you know, it could have just been that I was getting older and my performance is going to decline anyway, or maybe it's the medication that affects the muscles, or don't really know, not really sure.
Okay, yeah, so maybe a bit more research is needed there. Can you just tell us what medical provision is available to you?
So I actually work in athletics. So I used to work in Welsh Athletics in sort of performance sport, and I now work with British Athletics. So I'm quite fortunate in that I know a lot of good sort of people, like that I can get access to, whether that's nutritionists or physiotherapists or massage therapists. And none of it is sort of provided sort of as part of being part of the kind of British transplant team, but I know that it's available sort of in my local area. But then also we have access when we go to training days, which we have about three throughout the year as part of the British team for transplant sport. We have access to therapists that we can see there, and they're sort of available for advice, like physiotherapists. And there's also a team from, I want to say Coventry University, that will come out competing, sort of when we compete at the World Games, they'll come out and support us. So we have access to that for free, which is fantastic.
Okay, great. So have you had any injuries?
So I've been really, really lucky, apart from having my abdomen sort of that as a sprinter as well, I think I've only had maybe one torn hamstring throughout 20 years of competing. So I've been very fortunate, but I'm also really kind of, I do sports massage myself, so I'm quite aware of the body, and I'm quite very much kind of, it's all about prevention rather than, you know, treating an injury. So I try and keep on top of things, self-treatment, you know, as well, sort of, and making sure that I get regular therapy as well if I can. So I just moved from down in Wales up to the Midlands, but when I was in Wales I was actually sponsored by a company that I was able to get sort of free massage from, so that was really, really beneficial.
That's great. So can you tell us about your involvement with Transplant Sport UK?
So I remember it was a weird connection. I think I used to work for Loughborough University about 15 years ago, and I remember they hosted a transplant games. I'm not sure whether it was a British Games or a World Games at Loughborough. And so at the back of my mind, when I was sort of coming round from having a transplant, I was kind of aware that this company existed and this organisation existed, and it was like, I was sort of coming out of a groggy coma, I can barely move, and I was just like, Transplant Sport, get me involved. And I think I was signing up to compete at my first British Games. I wasn't even out of hospital. They airlifted me from Portugal back to Birmingham, and I was already signing up to sort of Birmingham Hospital to be involved in kind of Transplant Games. And I got in touch with Lynn Holt from the sort of British World Transplant Games, kind of the British sort of element of it, and was sort of just saying that, you know, I used to do athletics, can I get involved? And I went to my first World Games, and sort of ever since then I've been a member of Transplant Sport and British Transplant Games and World Transplant Games, and I'm now captain for the women's British team, and you know, yeah, work closely with Paul Harden from Transplant Sport as well. So yeah, it's all sort of big family, big connection.
Brilliant. So how important is Transplant Sport UK to athletes?
I can't really even explain. It's just, It's been a bit of a lifesaver, literally. I think sport was such a massive part of my life before my illness. And then when I came around and I was like, all right, I've had this massive thing and I didn't know anyone else. I'd never met anyone else that had a transplant. And then I went to my first transplant sport training day. And suddenly I was just surrounded by, you know, over 100 people, like all ages, that had, from all different sports, that had a transplant. It was just kind of mind-blowing. And it was just a sense of support, a sense of community. It's like one big family, basically. I mean, that was at a sort of World Transplant Day training session, but also my first British Games that I went to. It was, yeah, like little kids that are two that have had transplants, to people that are sort of in their 80s and they had their transplant decades ago. And it was completely overwhelming and completely amazing. And yeah, it's the best thing that I've ever been associated with and ever come across.
That's amazing. So how important is raising awareness of this charity?
We are completely self-funded and sort of, when we go and compete at British Games, we get sort of, it depends on, you know, some people get help from the hospital to compete, but when we go and compete for Britain again, I think it's the largest non-funded team that competes with Britain, you know, and we come out of it with loads of medals. So any help that we can get is always so much appreciated.